We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. You have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM this morning, or if you're listening to the rebroadcast at 5 o'clock, if you're listening at 10:30, you are listening to WWBC 1510 AM, where the gospel, it keeps going across the airwaves here in Brevard County. You know, there are a lot of different frequencies, a lot of different transmissions that are going across, and you have chosen to tune into this. And along that lines, I just want to encourage you today. There are a lot of different voices that would try and speak into your life. There's all sorts of television signals and radio signals and all of that sort of stuff. And I want to encourage you, allow God to be the one that speaks into your heart and into your life. This last Sunday, I preached on the proper use of the mute button. We were in Texas, and we did some blessing of my mother-in-law while we were out there as far as meeting some needs that she had. And our kids blessed us with a new television at our house. Was a real surprise. And so we said, well, that'll be good for Mom's birthday, my birthday, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and our anniversary. There's a whole lot of things that are going on here in the next few weeks as far as our family goes. My wife's birthday comes up here just a few days, and then mine, and Mother's Day's right after that, and then our anniversary, then Father's Day. It's a very impoverishing time of the year as far as gifts go. But our kids blessed us, and when we came back, it had a new remote to control the television. This television had capabilities our old television didn't have, and I couldn't figure out how to work the remote. And I want you to know that on your phone, on your television remote, there's a mute button. And you need to know how to use that appropriately, and you know how there are a lot of people who use it inappropriately. And so if you don't mind, I'll just start off today's broadcast giving you just a brief synopsis of what we talked about on Sunday. And that is that, first of all, you need to be able to mute yourself at the appropriate time. Sometimes there there's things that go on with us individually where we might be upset at somebody, and where we just want to speak out and lash out against something. And rather than speaking the truth in love, or speaking out of anger or whatever it might be, instead of speaking from the Spirit of God, we speak out from a negative source, and we need to be able to mute ourselves at that point in time. And as I remind our congregation, and I've said it here a number of times, just because something crosses your mind doesn't mean it's supposed to cross your lips. And so that I might have that inscribed on my tombstone. That's something that has been pretty repeated pretty frequently. It's something that God gave me a long time ago, and I really do believe that. There are a lot of people who like to speak their mind, but they can't stand anybody to even look at them in a manner that they find displeasing. So I think it's a good thing if we are able to mute ourselves. Sometimes you need to mute the ambient noise of your life, things that are preventing you from having the focused, intentional conversations that you have that are going on. Recently, I was sitting there watching television, and the phone rang, and so I muted the television because I needed to focus on the conversation that I was going to have. And so you can mute the ambient noise in your life. And then third is you need to mute those things that are trying to get you sidetracked. You see, the devil wants you to serve him, but if he can't prevent you from serving him and or can't prevent you from serving God instead of serving him, then the next course of action for him is to try and get you off course and try and get you distracted and complacent to where you are not pursuing the plan of God. You know, if you watch a magician, a lot of what the magician does is try and get you distracted so that you don't pay attention to how something is done. The devil will have all sorts of distractions to get you off of your primary purpose. And sometimes you just need to mute those other things, the things that are out of order in a situation. There was a movie a long time ago. It was maybe Apollo 13 was the name of it. I don't remember. Gary Sinise was in it, and he wasn't able to go on the flight, but he had a very important mission because they had a tragedy aboard the space capsule, and his job was to figure out how they could keep from blowing the circuit breakers and get things done. And so he was trying to figure out the sequence that they could turn things on and turn things off and get things functioning that needed to be functioned, or that needed to get them home safely. And so, as I told our congregation on Sunday morning, let me share it with you today. That is, God needs to be first in your life. God needs to be the top priority. If you don't get the relationship with him right, everything else, no matter how good it is going to be messed up eventually. So you need to make God your top priority. If you are married, your spouse needs to be your next priority. I don't care. This is going to sound kind of callous. I don't care about all of the other family and all of the other demands and all. You've got to keep that spouse relationship your second highest priority. You have to, because as someone once said, and I don't remember who it was, but the best gift that a man can give his children is to be in love with their mother. And so you need to keep that spouse. And I have encouraged people to focus on their marriages. That's one of the things that I do. Because if you don't, it will fall apart. It is not a maintenance-free issue in your life. You got to keep that. And then you need to keep your kids a priority. You see, I love what I do, but I have made it very clear to God that I did not want to lose my kids while I was doing the ministry. That was an unacceptable alternative for me. And so I fought for my kids. I prayed for my kids. I loved on my kids. I attended events with my kids that I never dreamed that I would ever attend, because my kids were in it. I took video that I never thought in a million years I would be taking video of, because I love my kids. And now it's extended to grandkids and daughters in love. And I've got one daughter in love, and, you know, eventually I'll have sons in love as well. But keep all of those things in your priority. You need to keep your health a priority, because you only get one temple, you only get one body. And then you need to keep the ministry as a priority. And as you keep that, as you focus on doing the ministry, and I want you to know, ministry and God are not equal. Those are two separate things. And so if you are loving God and you get all those other things, you know, you love God, you start loving on your wife, it's going to be a lot, you're going to have a lot more influence over your kids and your grandkids, and it's going to be better for your health. And then you're going to be able to serve. If you are doing all those other things, but you haven't found a place of ministry yet, I want to encourage you, you need to elevate that. So, you see, God is not a God where things are out of order and then he blesses the chaos. God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of chaos. He is a God of order. And so don't be guilty of the sin of inordinate affection, which means affection that is out of order. You don't want to be guilty of doing things in love that are not the season for them yet. If you're not married, there are certain things you're not supposed to be doing yet. Hallelujah. And so you need to be able to hit the mute buttons on things that are out of order, that are distracting you from your highest purposes. You know, I told you on this program one time about hitting golf balls on the driving range because I hadn't played for a while. I had some eye surgery, and before I went out and played a round of golf, I wanted to at least see if I could hit a golf ball. And there was a person that was having a conversation with another guy, and he was frustrated because he couldn't go buy something else because they had bills to pay as a couple. And the other guy's solution was, well, couldn't you file separate tax returns so that she couldn't tell you what you need to do with your tax refund? And it's like, pardon me, but if you'll allow me to be very real, it's like, you're an idiot. Whatever he's going to buy with that, that's going to deteriorate and that's going to rust. But that marriage, if you start doing things like that where you get that out of order, it's going to fall apart. And then those are some of the proper uses of the mute button. You mute yourself whenever you're speaking from the wrong spirit. Mute the things out of your life, the distractions out of your life, so that you can have intentional and focused conversation. And then third, mute the things that are out of order in your life until they're in the proper order, and then it'll make a whole lot more sense. And then there were three things that I shared with them that were things that we tend to mute that we shouldn't mute, and that is, we should not mute God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The people of Israel thought that it was a fascinating lesson that they learned when Moses heard from God, and they heard from God, and it didn't kill them. And they said, but you go talk to him, and then you come and tell us what he said. And they missed the lesson that we live by the word that proceeds out of God's mouth. And so how do people mute God? First of all, they mute God when they don't get into his word. And I pray that the Bible is a priority in your life, and that you fall in love with it, not because you have to, but because you realize that it's the words of life. And we tend to mute God when our prayer turns into a monologue instead of a dialogue, where we're doing all of the speaking and telling. You know, my wife and I were having a conversation, and she started laughing because I said something, and I said, what's so funny? And she said, you just told me this a little while ago. And it's like, oh, well, you know, my wife and I, we don't get to see each other a lot, and I share a lot of the same information. I didn't realize it was her that I'd shared it with. But God already knows everything that you have need of before you ask. He cares about you. He numbered the hairs on your head. He knows how many they are. He knows the natural hair color. He knows how tall you are. He knows the most heavily guarded number in your life, and that's the weight on the scale. He knows all about that. He knows all about your finances. He knows every detail that is going on in your life. He knows what is going on inside you, inside your anatomy. He knows everything there is about you. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. And when we pray in such a manner that we act like God is just now finding out about this stuff. He already knows it. We are supposed to ask, but we're supposed to ask in faith, not just bringing information to him. And then we need to, once we have praised him, once we have prayed, then we say, okay, God, would you speak to me? Would you give me the wisdom and the guidance that I need? God, would you speak into my life so that I'm the best me that I could possibly be? God, speak. And so I encourage you to take the mute button off God by, when you pray, you spend some time with him listening. And the third thing that we do is we tend to mute God because we don't praise him. To be quite honest with you, you praising him has nothing to do with whether or not you know the words to the song or not. It has nothing to do with whether you like the song. Doesn't matter how you feel at that time. He is holy and worthy of praise right now. So I want to encourage you, don't mute Don't mute your praise of God. He's enthroned on the praises of his people, and I need that royal scepter extended. I need his decrees coming from the throne room, and so I don't want a rock having to do my job. I want to take the mute button off God, because I want him to issue decrees, send forth his word, and bring healing. And so one of the other things that we do is we mute our own voice. Now, there's a time to mute your voice when you're speaking incorrectly, but too many of us are not using the voice that God gave us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there is no plan B. The saints are plan A and plan B and plan C and plan D. There was a donkey that spoke to a backslidden prophet one time. That's not the norm. The norm is for people who are in love with Jesus, who've been forgiven of their sins, to tell everybody they come in contact with what a great, marvelous blessing they have in their life, that their sins are forgiven. And the third thing that we tend to mute is we tend to mute the voice of the saints. Do you realize that God has blessed you and blessed me with people that he has redeemed, people with wisdom that we do not have, people with experience that we don't have, and God has positioned them to encourage and edify us, and too many times we hit the mute button on their voice because we don't get ourselves in church. Let me tell you, because I am not a preacher first, I am a pastor first. You need to be in a local church. You need to be in a local church regularly. You need to be able to call upon the elders of the church and then pray the prayer of faith over you, and the Lord raise you up from your sickbed. You need people who can encourage you, who've been where you are, and say, you know what, you might think that there's no end to this road right now, but I want you to know I've been where you are, and God brought me through, and he's going to bring you through. There is a solution. You need saints that will encourage you and edify you, and you need saints that you can encourage and edify as well. So if you want to know what I preached on Sunday morning, that's what it was right there. So let me take you back to Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So today I want to spend the rest of the broadcast here talking about comforting those who mourn. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete, the Comforter, the one who is called alongside to help. And so one of his titles is the Comforter. And one of our hymnals, there is a song that's titled, "The Comforter Has Come." And you and I, we need to understand the biblical way to comfort. When I think about the wrong way to comfort, I think about Job's friends. Job's friends came, and to be honest with you, they started off with the right mission. They were there to comfort Job. Job had lost his kids. He had lost his wealth. He had lost his health. He had lost everything. Everything was gone. And he sat down, and they, when they saw Job, they couldn't even recognize him, and they sat there with him for a week, and they didn't say anything. And I want you to know that that was the wisest thing that they did, because when they set out to comfort him, they did so by accusing him and telling him that what he was experiencing was his fault. Now, I want you to know there can be times in your life where we experience the consequences of our own actions. I would be lying to you if I told you that can never be a reality in your life. Too many times people are taught in society right now that it's not their fault, that it's mama's fault, it's daddy's fault, it's the dog's fault, it's the neighbor's fault. And to be fair, there are some times where we are victimized. But Job's comforters came and they spent their time accusing him instead of comforting him. That's not what you and I are called to do, to comfort all who mourn. People who are in mourning are generally people who have lost a valued relationship. It could be a parent, it could be a spouse, it could be a child. It could. I know people who grieve and mourn over the loss of jobs or the loss of health in their body. I don't know what the source of mourning might be for you, but I do know this, that the Spirit of the Lord God was upon Jesus and he was anointed to comfort those who mourn. The best news that I can tell you today, if you are mourning the loss of a loved one, is that if they were a believer in Jesus Christ conquered the power of death, hell, and the grave. I was doing study for our Easter season. And I read a lot of the book, The Case for Christ, and how this person who is an expert in his field. And the author of the book, Lee Strobel, was interviewing him, and he started out to disprove the resurrection because he didn't want to become a Christian. He ended up becoming a Christian anyway. But he was interviewing this person and he was getting ready to leave, and he said, "But don't you want to know my other reason?" And he said, Well, what other reason you talk about? And he said, I want you to know about the resurrection. And he named this person, and that person turned out to be his wife who had died. And the good news is Jesus' resurrection wasn't the last resurrection. It was the first one. And because he has triumphed over death, hell, and the grave, and now holds the keys thereof, he has said that he is coming again. And that when he comes, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want you to understand, folks, that the resurrection is not just a historical event. It is a future source of joy for all of us, where we are going to be transformed forever. Let me read to you out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, "For this we say to you," verse number 15, "by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Now listen to this. "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." The coming again of the Lord, the resurrection of the dead in Christ, and those who are alive and remain being caught up into the presence of the Lord to be with him forever, that is not supposed to be a source of trauma for us. It is not supposed to be a source of fear. It is supposed to be a source of comfort. And so we have sorrow whenever a loved one passes away. And the devil will try and take that sorrow and use it as a seed of bitterness. There are so many people that I know that are bitter because a loved one passed away. I want you to know that death is something that is appointed unto all of us. It is appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. You have a length of time, a number of days that God has appointed for you. The Bible tells us that we are to teach us, it encourages us, God, teach us to number our days correctly. We need to value the days that we have with our family members. Too many times we spend all of our time fighting instead of appreciating one another. And then when that appointed time comes, then people are racked with bitterness and anger and hostility against God. And I want you to know that He wants to you to be comforted in that season. He wants you to triumph during that season. For a believer in Jesus Christ, the day of their last breath is the day that they have been tempted for the last time. They have been victorious over their last battle. Death has now been subjected as their last defeated enemy, and they are in the presence of Jesus. They're going to be able to worship Him without sorrow. It is going to be a great, great time of celebration. And there is coming a time where all of us are going to be gathered in the presence of Jesus, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, all of whom have been made victorious because of the work of Jesus Christ. And we are going to be able to worship around the throne together. Do we grieve? Yes, but not as the world grieves. There is a lie that the world has that says that for those who are not in a redeemed relationship with the Lord, that death is the end of their suffering. Unfortunately, that's not true. It's just the beginning. God doesn't want it that way. God wants us redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and He wants us looking forward to that time that we are going to spend eternity, that we're going to spend with Him. Are you mourning today? I want to tell you that if your loved one knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have just embarked on the greatest thrill ride that they're ever going to experience. They're going to be worshiping the Lord uninhibited. And so the coming of the Lord is the reason that we can say, we can comfort those who mourn. I'm not here to point a finger and lash out at blame. I'm here to say there is comfort that's available because Jesus paid the price for your sins to be forgiven. God bless you. You have a marvelous day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."